If you'll open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know I love you. Thankful to be able to do life with you, to worship together as we are, as we are one. I'm grateful that many places you could go to today and say you went to church. I never take it for granted that this is your place that you say that. And by the way, if this is your place, then let it be your place. And we're grateful for your membership here, for those who come on a frequent basis. We're thankful for your visiting here continuously, and we pray the Lord will continue to minister to you through this body. And I am sure of this, that if you'll give yourself to the cause of Christ here, you can grow in Him. You're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe this, and I'm so thankful that I can say it. I really believe if you get in this place and just yield to the direction we're trying to, by the way, we're just following the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, but if you yield to that direction, and that should matter, y'all. This isn't something where we sat around and this has got a buzz in it. If somebody can kill that monitor where I won't even be thinking about it, that would be a blessing. Just to have the fact that you can be, we didn't sit around and have any kind of strategy about it or hey, what would be good? What do you think? You know, I heard that this church is doing this. Certainly God can use other people to be an example to us. I hope that we are. Other churches can be an example to us, and they are, and I hope that we can also be one of those. But the only example or the extension of the example we need to be is that which they can see it here, that we can point back here. Right? That we can point back to the Word of God as the reason of who we are and what we are. And so I just believe, man, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Is this like a heartbeat thing or whatever? But I wish that everybody would just hop in, and thankful for those who are, and praying for those who maybe you're for whatever reason, there's just something that keeps you from just saying, you know what, I want what God wants. And you know, I don't have no intro to this today, but to say that, and I didn't plan for that, but look, here's the heartbeat of this series, and it's my heartbeat, and I'm your pastor, and I don't diminish this, and yet it's our heartbeat as a pastoral team to the fabric of every single one of us, Pastor Josh, Pastor David, Pastor Mark. Look, it is our heartbeat for the kids, for the youth, for this church. Look, that we not settle to be less than what we can be. For us to not, if God is willing to do a work in somebody's life, do it in mine, right? I mean, why would I want that to pass by me when I consider our standing at the judgment seat of Christ? And we keep saying that phraseology, and I even thought about that as I was praying on the way in today. I don't, obviously, there is no level of appeal that I can do in the flesh, though it be with good motives. I know we can provoke one another good works, and I'll talk about that today. I get that. But that's only going to last this long if it doesn't connect to the core of your spirit, of who you are in Christ. And the reason we keep bringing up the conversation, almost to the point that I hope you're not callous. Please don't get callous to the reality that the next encounter that awaits you. Oh, yeah, can't wait for the rapture. Well, get ready, because guess what's coming after that? The judgment seat of Christ. No, you're not going to be at the great white throne judgment. Well, we may be there, but you're not going to be there for that accounting of you having to give an account for your soul. No, look, if you're saved, you're saved. You're not going to lose it at that point. But I promise you, you remember what the Bible says in Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, knowing therefore the, catch this word, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. To think of that moment. That, I mean, man, our faith becoming sight, and the joy of seeing the one who we've called upon and rejoiced on, and that encounter having an opportunity to be terror because of our accounting of what we didn't do. with his life. We're empowered to do, had his word, had his spirit, but maybe even worse yet, wouldn't do, and justified not doing it. Wouldn't become, and justified not becoming. Oh, church, I would be doing you a disservice as your pastor if I did not try to bring your mind on a ready basis to we do have that eyeball-to-eyeball encounter waiting to us one day. I look and I think about, we could all say how God used Paul. Wow, man, did God use Paul? I mean, 13 books of the Bible, and oh my. And how did this guy, I mean, prison epistles, for goodness sake. I mean, this guy... It was Paul who was constantly used to beat that drum. I know I've got an accounting one day. I count all these things but dung that I may win Christ. I don't think he got up a day, man, not pondering that. And who cares what I think, and that may be my riddle. But the point being, he was driven by it. And yet God is no respecter of persons. How many of you know that? Isn't that a joy about that? God is no respecter of persons. And God wants to use you. What he needs on this earth is some people that say, God, if you can use this, Lord, use me. And guys, go back through the scripture. Tell me your past. And I'll bring you to the scripture of somebody that's got one just like it probably that God touched and he used. But I won't be able to bring you to one that he used like that, that wasn't surrendered to the God who was using him. Are y'all tracking with me? I'm feeling a little quiet in here today. A little quiet. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it identifies our problem oftentimes. I was looking at this verse early today. For we dare not. There's a phrase. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Okay, who are we daring not to be like? Or we dare not, right, to compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. There you go, by the way. And if ever we're in an opportunity to commend ourselves, social media world is it, right? Everybody going to tell you how great it was this morning at their place. And by the way, if you feel like it was, say it. But before then, everybody going to talk about that. And we're going to look over there, man. You know, it must have been great over there. Wonder how they did it. Everybody pumping themselves up, right? Will somebody agree with the pastor this morning? All right, thank you. Hallelujah. I need to keep. All right, good. Look. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. By the way, letter written to a New Testament church. Nor compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Because remember, I said this last week, you're only going to have two places to go right there. You're either going to be depressed because you're not what they advertise themselves to be, or either you're going to be prideful because you think you're better than what they advertise themselves to be. Are y'all tracking? So right there, we ought not do it. Watch. I'm going to say it again. Dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. Will you say these last three words if you have a King James Bible and you're looking at it? Say it to me. 1, 2, 3. Are not wise. Those folk who use other people's Christianity to gauge theirs. Are y'all tracking? I use what other people will do with their liberty to gauge what liberty I will take, which was never given for the purpose of using liberty like they say it. But y'all get the point, right? Are y'all getting it? Not even amongst in here, but certainly not out there. Again, yes, there's principles. There's certainly precedent that God can use us to provoke one another unto good works. Yes, hallelujah for that. But I'm so scared that what oftentimes happens is we justify our lackness. We justify our worldliness, if I can say that. We justify our, are you with me? Our lack of submission. We justify our Laodiceanness. There's a word. We justify our love and our own selfness. Because good old Johnny Christian over here is the same way. Are y'all with me? Or, well, at least I'm not like them. Right? Isn't it interesting how we're so good at pointing the mirror at other people and kind of getting rather than pointing it here? I'm conscious and I understand the context of it, but it does remind me of that verse in the Gospels that talks about that plank in your eye, that beam, while you studying somebody else and what's wrong with them. Are we okay with this? Are we okay with this? Welcome to One Baptist Church on the morning. Amen. Next week's Mother's Day, all right? Going to have a hiatus. Only one woman in the Word of God that was called great. We're going to look at her, and we're going to see the characteristics of that woman. Mother's Day. Don't be afraid to invite somebody. All right, now, all of that said, we're looking at in search of a true disciple. Many of you heard my plea, my passion, my heartbeat when we birthed this. I won't review it now, but it is to say, not to just get you a thirst, for us to have a thirst, for One Baptist to not be measuring themselves by any other standard but that book, that he is the measure and the stature. The fullness of him. I mean, this is what this is about, that we can be building us up, perfecting us into the measure and standard of him, not using someone else that, quite frankly, has lost their zeal, lost their joy, and even their coming to church is all about them. And somehow that's become an influence on our life. Are we okay with that? All right, good. Let's get into our message today. We're talking about in search of a true disciple. I did keep the intro there that I used the very first week under the making of a true disciple. All of our messages are online. And let me do say, please, if you care about your growth, go back. This is only the third one. They're all online, onebaptist.org. Go there, listen. You could do it driving back and forth to work and get it in your wheelhouse. Hear it all. Let the Lord, even if you heard it before, let it renew inside your spirit. On that day, we culminated to it being a true disciple requires your salvation. To be a true disciple requires your submission. But the overarching thought, I want you to see that first bullet. Every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is a believer, but not every believer is a disciple. And that's what the Lord was looking for, okay? He was looking. He wants us to make disciples. That's the portrait that the Bible uses. And when the Bible talks about a disciple, it's not talking about somebody who's saved. Hallelujah for salvation. But remember, if salvation was what it was all about, we would say our amen when we called upon the name of the Lord, and God would take us out of this weary world that we're in. But yet God wanted us to be so consumed with him that out of our lives, the light of the glorious gospel could shine unto them that know him not. And their lives be influenced, their lives be changed, that they would see that there's something worth giving your life for. Because everybody's giving their life for something. We went up to Nashville and spent, Mark and I did most of Friday up there, and touring the hotels and trying to get a mindset of where to have this. And our marriage retreat that we have in December, December 6th through 8th. Make sure you bookmark that now. But as we're going, and the last place we were going through, we're walking through, and there's it's convention center kind of thing, this part of the hotel, and here's the, you know, the displays outside, and I just sat there for a minute. I just watched people going to the different ones, and some of them, you know, was just the club this, the club that, and I thought, everybody's looking. I said it. I said, everybody's looking for something to be a part of, something to give their life for. And yet it's, of course, the me and me, the God and me, whatever you want to call it. I just grieve to think about how many people just give it. I mean, man, the everything that they give, the energy, the funds, the time, and they find in that's their church, that's their people. But yet at the end of the day, when they stand before him one day, whether at the great white throne judgment or whether it be at the judgment seat of Christ, they'll find it was not something to give your life for. And listen, the devil will put, please, I just said the devil will put good things in your, good, not bad things. Hey man, belonging to this over here, that's not a bad thing, is it? Only if it becomes the main thing. Are y'all with me? A good thing is a bad thing if that good thing came before the God thing. Are y'all tracking? And yet that's, in a day when nobody has time, that's oftentimes what you see. And maybe it's us pastors who hear all the excuses oftentimes that brings you to that place. But anyway, you can see all those things up there. A true disciple don't just hear, they do. A true disciple never says, I know what the Bible says, but a true disciple lays down their life. They are not about me first. That's the biggest problem in Laodicea. A true disciple doesn't excuse themselves from following. They follow. And that's what we're trying to expose and talk about. Mark number one last week. Well, these are the markings, if you're filling in your blank there. These are the markings. This was the making of the true disciple. These are the marking of a true disciple. The marks, if you want to do that. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is established in and faithful to the Word of God. Probably the next time I'm up here and preaching in this, which will probably be next week's Mother's Day. The next week is Graduate Sunday, so we'll do something kind of different that day too. So the next week's Memorial Day, so it may be the first Sunday in June that I'll be back in this series here. But I'll give these to you in a more kind of condensed bullet form, different than what you're going to read out there, so that at the end of the series we'll be able to crank these out. I'll say Mark number one, Mark number two, but right now I want to expound upon those so that you get it. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is established in and faithful to the Word of God. And again, time wouldn't permit me, although I really would like to, but I will say, don't think you're established in the Word of God if you're not faithful to it. That's not. We're not talking about people just getting more knowledge and not applying it. And by the way, when we talk about applying, when we talk about this thing of being a true disciple, faithful to the Word of God, I'm talking about we take the big things. Yeah, I'm that. You know, those big things that don't kind of get in our world. But I'm talking about a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. That's a true disciple. A wife that's submitting to her husband as the church is to submit to Christ. I'm talking about that kind of disciple. Hello? I'm talking about honoring thy mother and thy father. Are we okay with all this? I'm talking about thou shalt not steal, lie. There's a big one. Can't figure out how that happens, but it's very convenient to lie amongst nowadays time. It's like we have categories of lies. These are the okay ones to do, and these are the ones not. I'm talking about being kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. I'm talking about letting all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking be putting away from us. Are we okay with all this? Right? I'm talking about this. By this shall they know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one toward another. How about verses like, don't let the sun go down on your wrath? Are we okay? How about verses since I'm just grabbing one in my mind as they come, feel free to throw one out at me. How about be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Just anybody? Are y'all with me? I'm talking about that stuff that kind of gets in the creases of our life. Oh, I don't drink. I don't do it. That's cool. That's cool. And don't abstain from all appearance of evil. That's cool. But what about that stuff that's your real life? Right? How about doing all things heartily as unto the Lord? Right? I'm just, you're going, man, you're just buying time the more. Are we scared of these things? Are y'all with me? And by the way, preaching to me, just like I'm preaching to you, are y'all tracking? I'm talking about that we simply let God's yet. How about rejoicing with those that rejoice? Stop. Period. Right there. Instead of being jealous over what somebody got. First of all, you don't know if they're stealing from God, and that's how they got it. So they're going to count one day for that. You can get a lot of stuff. I got to be careful right now. Every once in a while, we'll ride down the road at Christmas time. You know, we've seen all the displays, you know. Wow, Dad, look at that display. I said, they don't tithe, son. Ain't no way where they do that. Like, that's God's money out in that yard. Where they, you know, I digress. And I get it. My parents decorate and they tithe. But my point being is just because you jealous of some material accumulation, and I'm using the word jealous. Oh, how about that? We're not supposed to be that. Don't envy one another. But yet, my point is, sometimes we look and we see what others have. Hey, you don't know the rest of that story. You don't know how they got it. You know what they're going to have to count with it. Stop it. How about the fact that covetousness is idolatry, according to the Scripture? How about that? I'm trying to say this thing of being a true disciple is simply accepting. Weep with them that weep. I don't know why I keep looking at you and I keep coming up with things. I said, submit to your husband. And I'm just kidding. throwing David a shout out down there in Rockmart. Be praying for him. He's doing good through the radiation, but he's pulled a muscle in his neck, and they're worried about the mass fitting him and all that tomorrow. So how many of y'all praying for our brother David and Miss Carol as they go during the week to Emory? They're down there all week for the radiation. They come back out and still faithful here, and that blesses me. Praise the Lord. Oh, how about not forsaking the assembly of them together as the manner of some is, even as you see the day of... How about that one? Are y'all with me? I can keep cranking them off. But the point is that any of those or the others that we could bring up, isn't it interesting how we can get so comfortable being so disobedient to the basics of just submitting to the Word of God? And most of them will come up with some reason why we can't do that or won't. I usually use the word can't, so I corrected it, because it's not that we can't, it's that we won't. But a true disciple will. A true disciple is not looking to get more knowledge so they can be puffed up. A true disciple is looking to get more knowledge so they can know the one of whom they're looking as. His name is the Word of God, so that they can become more like it, be conformed to the image of God. They know that that's the good thing of Romans 8:28. Are y'all with me? That we would desire God's best and stop excusing it when we're not yielding to that. I said it last week, Revelation 3, I do consider the fact of where it talks about, I mean, and I said it, it's fine, I get it, Revelation 3:20, when people use that for a salvation verse, you know, if any man, you know, if any man, what does it say? I'm looking at Trotter, putting you on the spot, here we go. Revelation 3, where he's knocking on the outside, remember? Yeah, if you may hear my voice and open the door, I will receive him. Is that right? Please, somebody correct me with the King's English. Somebody turn to the verse, amen, hello. Somebody getting there. Thank you, Madison, please. Say it out loud, baby girl. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, we ought to do this on a regular basis. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. And we use that as a salvation verse. Hey, do you see this right here? God's knocking on the door of your heart. And if you'll just open up that door, he's willing to come in and sup with you. Hey, use that as practical application if you want to do that. That's cool. Maybe you got saved with somebody showing you a verse like that. But that's a letter written to a church in this day and time, this day and time, saying that Jesus, who's the Word of God, is on the outside of his church, knocking, asking to get in, while this whole party's supposed to be about him, right? And he's saying, look, if you'll just open the door, I want to sup with you, I want to fellowship with you. But it's only going to happen as I am welcome, and I'm only welcome if that word is welcome. And if we're not able to fellowship at that table, what are we doing? God's looking for that kind of church. He's looking for that kind of people. One Baptist, can it be us? Anybody beside the pastor willing for that to be us? A true disciple. Your handout. Today's mark. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ loves him more than any other purpose or person. Obviously, again, now established in and faithful to. You're not established in the Word of God if you're not faithful to it. You just know some stuff, and you're going to be accountable for the more you know. There's that virtue piece. But mark number two, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ loves him more than any other person. Turn your Bible, if you will, please, to Luke chapter 14. You with me this morning? Say amen. Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Again, we just said mark number two of a disciple, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, loves him more than any other person. Fill in this blank here. No one including self, you can put me if you're filling that out, is to be loved greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is never a scenario in your life where Jesus should be in any other position than first. Can we amen that? And by the way, there's the indictment. Yes, amen to that. Oh man, I can't come to discipleship, you know, Wednesday. I got this right here, you know. We got to do it, you know. But we'll amen that. And don't amen next time because you think I'm setting you up. You know, I love you. But I'm trying to show us how we can be, talk is cheap, amen, hashtag it, right? I mean, talk is cheap. Top of the next page, your love for Jesus. Listen to me. I just said there's never a scenario in your life where Jesus should be in any other position than first in your life. Your love for Jesus may require you to choose between him and other earthly relationships. And a true disciple, for a true disciple, y'all, it's not a thought at all. I would say that's not a choice at all, but it still is. But it's not a thought at all. Hey, Pastor, that's some good wording and all like that, but you got some scripture for that? Well, I think I do. Look at Luke chapter 14. It's 25 and 26 there. There went a great multitudes with him, and he turned, talking about Jesus, and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, you ought to underline that if you got your Bible out right there, he cannot be my disciple. Now at that point you're reading, you're going, man, you know, I can't identify with that Jesus, man. I mean, it's not telling me to hate. You know, we know we shouldn't hate. See, part of our problem is that we take how we've taken the King's language, and we make it this, and we try to apply our slang and our use of this, etc. But how many know the Lord, with this Bible, how many know that the Lord has a way to interpret the Bible himself? Right? I don't have to look at a commentary and see, and nothing wrong with some of them, as long as they use this what I'm about to tell you is the way that they find what they find, but we don't have to depend upon that. I don't have to go back and find this word and say that, the other, etc. The Lord allows us, he tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he's calling the book, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, where he calls the Bible the mind of Christ, and he talks about that wisdom that is available. It's been made known unto us. And how is it that we can know the wisdom of God, which is the word of God? How is it that we can know that? He says, the Holy Ghost teacheth. Right? So therefore, first of all, that'd be good for us not to take a lost person's opinion about what they think about the Bible, because they don't even know God. They can't have a right interpretation of that. But yet, nonetheless, how many of you know that even some saved people have a wrong interpretation? Because what they'll say is, you know, man, what I think about that verse is, right? That's what a lot of places who call themselves having small groups, that's what they do. That's not what we do at our small groups. We look and we see what thus saith the Lord, and we discuss that. But this thing of the mind of Christ, again, it's not our mind that matters, it's his mind that matters. And he says in there that the way that the Holy Ghost teaches is comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, right? And where can we find a place to compare spiritual things with spiritual things? Why we have it. Right in our Bible, right? And we can take and we can look at something over here and look at something over here, and then we're, oh, there it is. I get it, right? So that we don't misinterpret, misquote. Anybody else like to be misrepresented in what you said? So that we don't misinterpret what God says. We don't misquote what God says, and that we get what it is that he says if we'll follow his way of knowing the word. Well, this thing of this word hate here is not used in the vernacular of what we use. Obviously, we have down there mother and father, okay? If he said, you know, hey, somebody gets licensed with that, I hate you, mama, because I'm going to grow in the Lord. No. The Bible does still say, I have it on the screen here, it does say, honor thy father and thy mother, and that's the commandment with attached to promise, by the way, young people. Ought to get that, right? that your days may be long. Look, Ephesians 2 emphasizes that again. So we got Old Testament and New Testament crowning that. God's turning up the volume on that as an amen. So obviously he's not using it in that sense of just, you know, flipping off your parents. You know, I hate you, you know, but I love Jesus. I mean, we're not going there, right? I don't have it on the screen, but Ephesians 5, where it talks about husbands, love your wives, and raises the standard and says, I just quoted just a minute ago, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. So obviously he's not saying, you know, the husband to hate their wives and the wives to hate their husbands when it says on the same passage there, verse 33, for her to reverence her husband. It's obviously not saying that, right? So we're right there, we got some practical sense just by throwing some verses out there. If you want to write this down, I won't. It's Judges chapter 14. Don't go there for time's sake, but verse 16. If you look there, Judges 14:16, Samson, he's having a conversation with his wife. She wants him to choose what she wants. She has a desire for him to succumb to her desires. At that point, he won't. And she says to him, why do you hate me? I'm paraphrasing. Use the word hate. Why do you hate me? I don't hate you because I'm not going along with your desires. But see, now we get a little bigger picture of what this thing is when Jesus is saying, unless somebody, if anybody come to me, look, and hate not. Okay, so are y'all tracking with me now? Are we picking up some good tools here? Okay, look, I do have this on the screen, Matthew chapter 10. He breaks it down as he's talking about this variance against and these things. And bottom line, what he's saying is, he that loveth that mother or father, by the way, that husband or wife, that child, that friend, more than me. That's what you got right there. It is simply this. Jesus is saying, hey, look, and he's saying this. He's saying, look. And by love, who you gonna love? All that stuff, but bottom line is, don't love them more than Jesus. I'm in this church. My wife is in this church. My mom and dad are right back there. Look, I love my mom and dad. Nobody questions that if they know me, but they want to make sure that I love him more than them, and I do. My children are in here, a lot of them. Some of them are out there, and I mean, there's no question I love them. I mean, I would die. No question. For my children, I don't know of a love. I don't even know how to describe that love. But the greatest thing I can do for them is to make sure that my love for them is never rivaled with my love for him. If my love for him will be all that it should be, if my desire for him will be first in my life, you know, the greatest benefactors will be those that are closest to us. Our children will be the greatest. And it's so crazy, man, because people will sacrifice God's word in the name of loving their children. It's so reversed. And we're okay with it because we're comparing ourselves with ourselves and we're down at the ballpark where everybody else is doing their thing too. And are y'all with me? It's tough, ain't it? Are you having a hard problem amening that right there? That you're supposed to love God more than anybody else on the planet. Are we having a hard time with that? God loves you. He loves your children. He loves your mom and dad. He loves your kids. He's not saying don't love them. We just showed you the comparing of Scripture to Scripture. He's saying this. Choose me first. If there's ever a choice between going along with their plan or going along with mine, go with mine. Choose me. That comparing Scripture there with Judges. Hey, if there's ever a desire that you're going to follow, follow mine. Are we okay with all that, y'all? Okay, I hope so. What'd you learn today? Well, my pastor said I need to hate my wife. And I tell you what, man, I'm getting that one 100%. I knew I was doing something right. Sad. I said earlier, it may require at times for us to choose between him and other, and it don't have to, but sadly, so often, it does. It simply means putting Jesus Christ's will ahead of daddy, ahead of mama, ahead of spouse, ahead of children, and here's one, ahead of our own desires. If I ever find myself just wanting to go of this way and find out it's not of this way, then God wins. I choose Jesus. Right? Right? Yes. Amen, Brother Billy. That's good. Yes, amen. It's true. Y'all, if we would just get it. If we would just get it. When you ponder these things of how we can come to him, and I could bring you other places, and again, I won't for time's sake, but it's just choosing him, and God wants that to be. But do let me say this. If you get about yourself and you decide I'm going to be a true disciple that is going to follow the Lord, you can just mark it down. Eventually, you will hear from somebody. You know, I remember when you used to not be so good for us. Are y'all with me? Translated, why do you hate us? Are y'all tracking with me? If ever you just say, man, I can't go there. I can't do that. If ever you're at the party and it gets, hey, I'm friends with you. We're all cool, etc. But now when it gets a little, hey, if Jesus would be uncomfortable, guess what? He's still uncomfortable. So I'm just going to ease out of this so you don't think I'm okay in that. Is that okay? Sure. It don't mean I'm not there for them. It don't mean I don't love them. In fact, I do love them. But I can't. I can't. Look, I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. I can't. Maybe that's where I used to live, and being around it and smelling it and getting in this atmosphere, I'm drawn to it. And so sad in this day, sometimes taking a picture with it, and somebody puts you out there for the whole world to see after you've been testifying about how good God is, and now they're seeing that you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. You're tasting a little something else. Are y'all with me? Is this okay? Mother's Day, 7 things about a great woman. Did I talk to you about that next week? But let's dial in today. Hello, are we okay? Listen, y'all, we've got to see that. I mean, what we do with that, and how we do it. Again, we just simply got to want what Jesus wants. And by the way, I mean, when I say it comes against myself, if it comes against what my flesh wants, listen, it needs to be, man, if it's my will or his, it's going to be his. I'm going to succumb to that. I'm going to choose Jesus, and I'm going to choose his way and his will enough that hopefully in that Romans 8:29 conforming process, that his will and my way don't, or his will and his way and my will and my way become where they're not so separate after all, by continuing to apply that virtue to what I know. Are y'all with me? That's what God wants. And again, y'all, I'm just saying it. This word needs to be our final authority for the true disciple. It is. But this is no small thing. I've seen it play out so many times, man. I've seen it. And again, that's why we have to know that there will always be a relationship that Satan will use to derail your relationship with Jesus. And he knows who it is or what it is. In fact, I'd say if it's something that you just can't let go of, or somebody, look, he's watching it, he knows it, he puts it in his toolbox, he whips it out to use it. I think you get it. True disciples, if you're feeling out your handout, makes their relationship with Jesus the, and I space that out on purpose, T-H-E, to emphasize that, the priority. The priority. For a true disciple, Jesus is never, maybe write this in your margin, Jesus is never next. Our love and our devotion. Devotion, that's where we get our word devoted. I wonder if you asked your kids, hey, what is mom devoted to? Wonder if they thought, Jesus, man, that Bible. What's dad devoted to? Y'all getting it? I mean, what is it that we're what would your friends say that you are devoted to? And again, if it's not Jesus, I know we wouldn't say, well, it's not Jesus. No, we would do all those other things. But the honest, here's how we can find the honest answer to that. The Lord just chose us. I mean, told us. And the answer to that is, which one do you choose? If it's that or him, his stuff or that stuff, which one wins? Because that's the one you're devoted to. We can lie to ourselves, sometimes by comparing ourselves, but the Lord just said, here's how you know, choose me, choose me. And if you're not, then you're not my true disciple. Didn't say you weren't saved. Maybe you've had modeled before you a sad case of quote-unquote veteran Christians that you might not want to make sure that they're even saved. But maybe that's been your model. And are y'all with me? Me, Gordon, and David are tracking on this message right here. But I hope you're getting this, that we would do. But the honest answer, the Lord just said, hey, look, which one do you, our choices reveal that, y'all. And I'm not preaching mad, y'all. I'm not even preaching mean. I am passionate about this because I want God to have his hand just resting on. I want when people to come in here for them to know there is something different about this place. And it's not because we can dress up on the outside, but it's because of what is going on in our lives that God said, if I'm going to rest on any place, I'm going to rest on 6800 Cedar Mountain Road on the backside of that and enjoy the view of my lake I created. He said, I want it to be like that. But if he tells us not to touch the unclean thing, I don't expect him to have his touch on our lives if we're unclean. And look, I get it. we are a church corporate. I want him to touch our church. But this boy, hold me accountable to it, by the way. I'm okay with that. Look, this boy needs to be that himself, because I'm not going to forfeit his touch on me because you don't going to get in on it. As for me and mine, I'm going to try by God's grace. And I meant that. Please come to me. If you see me giving myself to the world in a way that would make me lose that touch. What do you fear most on this planet? I fear losing God's touch on my life. Yet today it's hard to hold anybody accountable, isn't it? Because, you know, in this day and time, it's just as easy. You hold them accountable, they're just going down the road to another church that won't. Right? And brag about it for about 6 weeks. Are y'all with me? It's just a little too real, isn't it? All right, now you're writing this down. No one, including self, is to be loved more than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I thought you just said that. I did. I put it there twice for a reason. Love is a verb. An action verb. Actions prove or disprove whether I really love. Jesus is to be preeminent over all things. Colossians says this, for by him, I have it on the screen, are all things created. It goes down, by him, and by the way, these things, including ye things, were created, look what it says, for him. It's that same place in Revelation 4:11, you know, thou art worthy, thou art to receive glory, for thou art, hast created, for hast all things created, for thou hast created all things, and for my pleasure. You created them. But you got me. Lucky you, right? No! All of us are for all of him. Every creation. All things consist by him. So henceforth, if all things consist, look, they not only exist because of him. God is holding all of us together right now. You get that? All things exist. All things consist. So therefore, he deserves and is, whether we want to admit, he is preeminent. He has no problem understanding that from his point of view. But he sure wants us to get it on our side. Are you with me? It's why that first message was not only that we receive him for salvation, but we submit to him as Lord. Our love for Christ has to trump every other love in our life if we're going to be a true disciple. And I said to you earlier, remember this phrase now. In fact, I have it on there asterisked in case you want to fill in the blank now. There will always be a relationship that Satan will try to use to derail your relationship with Jesus. I mean, he knows where it is. He knows where it's at. He knows how to whip it out. I mean, there's going to be that. And if you'll get it in your mind, then you should guard against that. I have down there family. Did you know sometimes the people who can pull you away from the will of God quicker than anybody else is your family? But look what God gave us in this verse of Matthew chapter 12. He tells us, look at the bottom part of that. Whosoever should do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And that's when Jesus was here on this earth saying this. You know what he wants us to see? Hey, I've heard people say, man, I just have no support for my family in the things of Christ. Yes, you do. God puts a premium on his church. He puts a premium on, look, we may not, but he does. He puts a premium. He calls us family. Listen to me. You do have support because you got me. I do have support because I've got you. We need to appreciate each other as much as what God says we should and we can. We're brothers. We're sisters. He says, don't form that. Yes, earthly, obviously. You've got them in a natural sense. But I want my earthly mom to be my spiritual sister. Are you with me? I want my earthly son to be my spiritual brother. Are y'all tracking? And it cannot be that I would be a respecter of persons about that. I hope that we're okay with that phrase. How about Proverbs 27, as it talks about friends? The iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Y'all, just stop for a second and just ponder some of the friendships you have in your life, those you would call friendships. You have in your life. So I'm just simply asking. I've got, anybody that knows me, I've got people who I am friends with, even bigger than the Facebook friend world. I'm talking about friends that I would say I'm friends with, but that they also know sometimes I don't dig what they dig. I'm not going to do what they do. But they also know I'm here for them. And oftentimes, if you just knew how my message book will pack in with stuff when they need that, and I want them to do that. Hey, look, you mean, you know, when they're sowing those seeds? Yeah, hey, look, I want them to have somebody that they remember that did love them as Christ loved them. But that don't mean I can go hang with them and do those things. It just can't be a choice. I can roll in some scenarios, but when it gets like that and it gets like that, and they need to know that. We don't have to blush about that. Hey, man, I'm here for you. I love you, but I cannot run with you in your sin because Jesus would not run with you in your sin, and he lives inside of me. It's grieving him, and it grieves me. But we won't have those conversations, will we? Because we're scared we're going to be attacked as judgmental, or that they won't be our friend because we did it. It's never loving to not tell the truth. Though we should absolutely tell the truth in love. What would happen if you're broken, if God, the Spirit of God has broke you enough and brought you down to tears to where you're looking at that person saying, listen, man, I don't like to see what's going on in your life, man. You're killing yourself. I don't know what's going to happen with you. Other people are concerned about you. They talk to me. Listen, man, I love you. And I just feel like if I participate in this with you, first of all, what's gotten you is going to get me, and I don't trust me enough, and you got to stop trusting you. And yet beyond that, I can't excuse it, man. I love you too much to excuse it. And I love him too much to excuse it. Do you think it's possible they would get convicted sometimes over God using us like that? How about, next verse says, Brother Tyler, throw the police up there. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but keep hanging around them fools. And it's just a matter of time before you will be, whether it's your testimony or whether it's something else. You'll be destroyed. I need to look right here and see what I got up there next. What do I have up there? Okay. And let me say this. I mean this as it is applicable to the world and to the church. James 4:4 says this. Can we handle this? James 4:4 says this. How about this? Could God get our attention? Isn't it funny how we can just read through there? You adulterers? You adulteresses? Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Have you ever heard, have you just flipped through your King James? It's good. How you doing, man? You doing all right? Good, good. Have you ever been flipping through your King James Bible in the OT and you see God talking about his people and when they go chasing something else that's not him, they go chasing another word or doing another thing contrary to his. Do you know what that book records? Here's sometimes how it says it. They were whoring after other gods. Well, let's think about, since it's just us in the barn, and I'll be careful, I understand what some of the ages we have in here, but let's ponder that. Why he would use that word whore? Just can't be satisfied with what they've got. And God says, am I not enough? Jesus, am I not enough? You just got to partake of that so you can get that extra buzz? You just got to go there because you got to do that? Am I not enough? And God uses that phrase. Look, so it don't surprise me when we get to the new T, when he says adultery is enough. Friendship of the world. Look, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what? It's just contrary thinking, man. They don't go hand in hand. I was going to bring you in 2 Corinthians 6, but you get it right. I quoted it earlier. What fellowship has light with darkness? And yet we're okay. We're okay with fellowshipping light with darkness. Well, you know, Jesus spent time with sinners. I hear you, bro. Gotcha. Yeah. But he didn't partake in the sin. His motive of when he was with them was to win him to his kind of thing. Are y'all with me? Stop using that garbage. Stop using the country songs to justify your biblical life. And I'm not going to quote the songs. I don't even know how I know them, but you know I know a few of them that says it just like that. It bothers me when people do that. I digress. Do you get it? How about 1 Corinthians 5? Do I have it on the screen? But now I have written unto you, now we're talking to a church, not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, because it's debatable that they are, but yet even if they are a brother or a sister in the Lord, if they're fornicating, don't have company with them. Is this okay? You know Joel Osteen didn't whip this one out this morning to preach. He ain't wanting my notes or my outline. Look. If they're coveting, don't have company with them. A railer. Just go off on everything. Be careful. Eventually, they're going to go off on you, and their going off is going to wear off on you, and you're going to be a railer before long yourself. Drunkard and extortioner with such and one, don't even eat with them. I'm not making this up. Well, it just seems to be contrary. I know we live in the love. And y'all, I really do try to exhibit that. I want to love people. I preached last week about mean Christians. I mean, we don't want to be them people. Lost people do what lost people do because they're lost people. Right? So let's don't be mad at it. They're just doing what they're doing. They're following their father. But shouldn't the same apply? Yes, sir. That saved people do what saved people do because they're saved people? And they're just following their father? Yes, are we okay with that? And for a young believer, I mean, look, we can meet people where they're obviously a young believer. Everybody's called up to take up the cross and follow. And a young believer, to get in. And have you ever known? They should be able to. They may not understand what the crucified life is about. They may not understand a lot of these other things. But what they do is they got saved, man. They're just thrilled about that. I mean, I'm not going to hell, and I can have a meaningful relationship with the God of the universe. I mean, I'm talking with Him. He's talking with me. And they're there. So I get it. They may not understand this whole live dead life stuff. But God put them in a body around other veteran, more mature believers who's been at this for a while. And isn't it sad to say that sometimes it's that new convert that's got a zeal that old convert don't know anything about? Sometimes it's that new convert that just wants to know what God says so I can do it. Are y'all with me? Which should cause us trouble to ponder that they could now get, so you don't have to. So it ain't got to be that I go everything the Bible says. Oh, I that's a load off. Are y'all with me? Isn't that sad? We're so reversed and comfortable in our reverseness. 2 Thessalonians, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Thessalonians 3 talks about, once again, it says, now we command you, brethren, another letter to the church, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. How about that? He brings that same word back up over in verse 11. We hear that some are walking disorderly. They're busybodies. Now we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. That he would go, man, I've told y'all that testimony before. I won't go into it now. How I was newly saved, had spent couple of years into this, and all of a sudden I saw some saved people who could talk like whatever and decided I'd do some of that myself. Until I ran into a new believer when I was working with him. And then that new believer, while I'm working with him, says to me, after he's trying to witness to me, and I tell him I'm saved, and he says, oh, you're saved. And he goes, man, I just got to tell you, if I'd have been looking at anybody in this workplace that knew Jesus, you'd have been the last person I'd have came to. And it was simply because of the way he heard me. Hadn't spoke the same since that time, maybe 17 years old, to where I was like, oh, I'm so glad that that brother looked at me and told me the truth, that my casual Christianity had caused me to become callous to his lostness, and he never would have came looking for me. True disciple. We ought to want to be a true disciple. He does say, I should follow this up, yet count not that person him, not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Again, that we would have the Holy Ghost boldness to just go to somebody and say, man, you're blowing it. You may walk away from me and never talk to me again because of it, but I love you enough to tell you, you are blowing it. And have the authority of the word to show his proof of that. And rescue them. Wouldn't you want rescued? okay, fine, let them go do what they do. But you can know that you were obedient to the Lord as a true disciple. Well, here we are. Filling these blanks. The true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will follow him unconditionally. Good leaders never demand their followers to do something that they are not willing. The Lord Jesus Christ bore his cross and expected his disciples to do the same. True disciples do it because they love him. One who is not willing to come to the place to where their life is over for Jesus is not a true disciple. Laodicea wants Christianity to be easy, undemanding, and on our terms. And yet I have written down there that none of that spells C-R-O-S-S. You were in Luke 14 earlier. Maybe you flipped from it, but in verse 27, Jesus said this. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Of those people on that day, they understood the cross meant, what do you think I'm going to say? It meant death. By the way, he's a symbol there in Luke chapter 9 in his invitation. And it says, Luke 9, Matthew, Mark, all of that. I think Mark quotes this way. Look, he said unto his disciples and the people. It wasn't just to the lost people. It was to those disciples that forgot what this was all about. You want to come after me? Want some of this? What was those two words? Anybody know? Deny yourself. Which is, that's got to happen if you're going to take up your cross and follow me. This thing of being a true disciple, it cost y'all. I have a quote up here. It's a preacher friend of mine in Kentucky. He posted it. I grabbed it. Put it here. It's the top of your handout, at the top of your handout. I didn't fill it in on purpose because now I'm putting it on the screen. Sacrifice is a lost word among Christians today. We live a life that is so comfortable that we have forgotten what it means to carry our cross. And he said, God, deliver us from convenient Christianity. Y'all, this thing of being a true disciple, it's not going to be easy. It's what makes the light known. It's what we were purposed to do. So obviously the prince and power of the air is going to come against against that. But true disciples are willing to carry their own cross. We must choose between making a life for ourselves, which is why so often people won't become a true. Hey man, I would, but I gotta. End of that sentence. Make a life for myself. Make a life for myself. Make a life for myself. I know we wouldn't say that because we want to justify that, but that's reality. Between making a life for ourselves versus following Jesus with our life. I got to build this. I got to do this. Got to make this. Got to own this. Yeah. Biblical discipleship emulates, E-M-U-L-A-T-E-S, emulates the life of Christ on earth, which emphasized total consecration to God no matter the cost. Will you just write these verses in the margin? Matthew 26:39, John 6:38, John 8:29. We have the greatest example of anyone, Jesus, on this earth himself even, that said, hey, remember, it's not my words, it's his. I'm not exercising my judgment, I'm exercising his. I'm just doing what he said. Are y'all with me? Jesus in the flesh. That's what he said. Jacob, you can put Christy on cue. Listen, that's what he was putting out there. And he was saying, hey, look. I mean, he's that example. So understand that he is that example. Again, y'all, this thing of bringing us to a death, it's like Paul wrote, where Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified. Hit me, Brother Tyler. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith of the Son of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. I live by this. Because I'm just a dead man. I don't have a will of my own. I don't have desires of my own. People should look at us and how we approach life. If it was love or hate in the term we were using earlier, I hate me some of me because I love me some of him. It's his desires. It's his will. And certainly, that being the case, we do know how it is that the Lord brought that out, and he speaks about that in John chapter 15. Romans 12 talks about being that living, please Tyler, that living sacrifice, which is just our reasonable service. you know, the Lord didn't hide to us what this persecution was going to look like. Remember how he said it? It's John 15. I don't think I have it on the screen. I was going to, yeah, I do have it. Let me give you these verses. Here's what he revealed to us it was going to be like. This is going to go quick. Matthew 8:19. He says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Hey, to follow me, it may be that you don't have the niceties of this world. There may be some times you may not even have a place to lay your head that you would really like. Are you with me? So what do we choose? Well, I want to have a nice place. Okay, that's cool. I'm not for having bad places. I'm just saying it can't cause us to choose him or choose them or it or that more than him. Mark 13, he says, look, sometimes, look, in this day, look, sometimes he's telling these boys, hey, disciples, come on. Who wants to be a disciple? Oh, by the way, sometimes you're going to be in the single line and you're going to be beat. But it's okay. It's for my sake. I got the sign-up form. Who wants to come up here and sign up for that? Ooh, and we are scared to witness because somebody might put a little post about us. Or they may not talk to us or talk about it. Oh, yeah, you know, old Carol, she got old Holy Joe, Holy Joanna. She's just not, you know, I tried to talk to her the other day, and she wanted to tell me about Jesus again. Yeah, what a way to go down, man. You see what I'm saying? Fox's Book of Martyrs, I dare you to buy it. Here's the cool news. I actually saw it in the dollar store, the paperback version. And it's the version you need because, look, the Catholics rewrote it to take themselves out of it. There's one, it's the one that's edited by Forbush. William Forbush, I think it is, but Forbush. Dare you to get it. Read it. Look at some people who understood a little bit about that. Some people that would not denounce the cause of Christ in their life. Look, there was times when they were wrapped up and tarred like street postmen and set on fire so that they could see in the kingdom. Thomas Hawks there because he would not say that baptizing a baby saved their soul. Set on fire. But yet he had told some close believer friends of his, I'm going to let you know how long God is faithful, for I'll clap my hands three times and let you know he's not forsaken me. And they set him on fire. All he had to do was denounce baby baptism. They set him on fire. And they said when the flames was raging, and you could no longer see but the form of his body, you saw three bones go up. Letting everybody know that God was faithful in the fire for more than just Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, but for Thomas Holmes as well. I'd say we'll never experience God like that if we won't take stands like they stood. True. I think about the judgment. I think about how far back, talking about the first should be last, how far back in life all the famous preachers going to be for some servants of the Lord who just said, I'm going to go with God. Will you throw the verses up here and let's get done? Can we please? It's my fault, but go. Hit me, Tyler. Hit me. Peter, thinking not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you. As if something strange happened. The same cat, by the way, who denied Jesus three times before he woke up to it, that he needed to love him, and actions would speak louder than words. How about the next one? What's the next one, Tyler? John, that's where he says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted you, they're going to persecute me. And I think what we have after that is Philippians, where Paul said, but these things that I'm pursuing that's going to get in the way of that, I'm counting them as done. All the things that were gained to me, they're done, man, because that's not what I'm living for. I'm a true disciple. I want to win Christ and not win him in the sense that I'm going to work and get saved, but I'm going everything that he is, he can be to me, because I'm not chasing everything that he's not. Are y'all tracking? True disciple are willing to carry their own cross, choose between making a life for themselves, following Jesus. Emulates the life of Christ on earth. Emphasize consecration no matter the cost. Jesus did it. Taking up our cross isn't comfortable, but no worthy endeavor rarely is. To the true disciple, Jesus, not comfort or man's approval, is life's greatest treasure. True disciples are not deterred or dissuaded, whatever you want to put there, detoured by the difficulties of persecution. They understand that their relationship with Christ is far more powerful than any hardship they may endure. Jesus said, hey, y'all, just follow me. In the world, you're going to have, John 16, 33, you're going to have tribulation, but be a good cheer, man. I have overcome the world. Hey, church, can you rejoice about that? How about 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14? Now thanks be unto God, which always, how many believe when God said always, amen, always, always causes us to triumph. How? Not by your definition of triumph, but in Christ. Making known, manifest, the Savior, oh, that word Savior, the Savior of his knowledge in every place by us, oh, y'all, that we want to be true disciples. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That's the next verse, Tyler. Not of spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a, cough for emphasis, of a sound mind. Are y'all tracking with that? Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And don't think, y'all, that persecution means you're doing it all wrong. Peter does say, by the way, later on in verse 16, but he does say later on, make sure that those things that are happening to you are happening to you. You're suffering because of the things of the Lord. By all means, it could be you're reaping what you sow, so make sure that you're not bringing on something because you sowed the wrong thing. But if you do, I had somebody pull me aside this week. So mad at God. If God would have been here, I think the person would have waved their finger in his face. It's not right that other people who don't live like that don't have to go through what I'm going through. It's not right that I'm doing this right, and we keep on facing this, and we keep on facing this, and the more I try to live for him, and that happens, it's just not right. I just want one day, all of that, me. By the way, I love him. And I spoke the truth in love. I said, hang on. I don't know if you've counted how many I's and me's you've been throwing out here right here, but it seems like it's all about you. This life ain't what we're supposed to be living for. Stop comparing your life with other people. They may be going through something you don't know they're going through. And the successes they're having and the enjoyment that they're having, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be the equator of them all if it's the judgment seat of Christ that they're going through. The psalmist saw that. The psalmist said, I don't know what psalm it was, but he check it out, I'm right. He said, you know, he's out there. The psalmist, because look, if you start looking around, you can go, and he's going, I look over here, and they're having this, and seemed like they're being blessed, and he was getting just tore up about it, because life can become so hard for we Christians. The psalmist said, until I consider. We're not living for the now, y'all. We're living for the then. This is just however God wants to get glory, whatever God wants to do. And I told that person, I know you don't want to hear that the trials you're going through, look, I'm sure you get just, you're over that. You're right now, you're dying that I'm saying to you, but man, God sure has been using you as a piece to be able to get glory through by what you're going through. I'm sure you want to go, well, I'm tired of him getting glory with me. Let him get glory with somebody else. But that straight talk. That person this whole week testify to other people about the goodness of God amongst their suffering. And by the way, they are suffering. Paul told his son Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, yea, and how many people, y'all, that will live godly in Christ Jesus might or what? Shall suffer persecution. If for no other reason, as Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 14, so that we wouldn't glory save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me. And by the way, I ain't got nothing for them either. Are y'all with me? We're done. On your handout at the bottom, pardon me, y'all, sorry. I have this. Are you a true disciple? Is the search, playing off the series header, of course, over with you? And so the personal questions. Can you say, can I say, my relationship with Christ is preeminent before all other? Am I willing to love Jesus more than anything? Have I had conditions to following him? meaning when it wasn't too hard, or if he'd start doing this for me, or when I get my company to this place, or when my son finally comes home, or when we're finally not arguing at the house, or when have I had conditions on following him. Will you daily live for Jesus? Right? I have decided to follow Jesus. We're going to give an invitation today, meaning I'm going to give the opportunity for you to walk the aisle, bow the knee, and maybe simply bring to the Lord. Listen to me, right here. Maybe come and lay down. Maybe it signifies laying down your life as a living sacrifice, because let me tell you something, he's worth it. But whatever it is the Spirit of God has put on your radar that you know you do love more than him, you know it's keeping you from making him preeminent. Your condition of following him is if they don't need none of you, over here don't need none of you, if this ain't going on, if this ain't, are y'all with me? I just wonder if you'd be willing to bring that which is standing in the way of you being a true disciple, bow a knee, and just talk to God about it. And so that we don't compare ourselves by looking around and seeing others who are coming and saying, well, I wonder what they did. Well, shame on you if that's the attitude you have at a time like this. Because I would imagine if we're all being real, probably every knee in this place needs to be bowed, laying something down. And if we're really going to receive this word as what God says, we do just that and stop making excuses. But maybe you want to come, and you were reminded today of when that used to be a struggle, and you just want to thank God that it's not anymore. And you just want to bow a knee and say, God, I'm thankful for what you delivered for me from. I remember when that had a hold on me, when this had a hold on me, when this would come first. God, I'm thankful for what you've done in my life. And I pray that I'd not ease back into that. So maybe those who are coming need God for their touch of what they're struggling with. Maybe those who are coming are bowing a knee and thanking him for what they used to. And that God would use them to provoke one another unto good works. His works, him through them. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, while others are coming, come see me. I'd love for you.